Welcome to another deep dive. You know, I'm always excited to see what you bring to the table, and today it's the lyrical world of Chappell Roan. And wow, she is really something else. You sent over three of her songs, Good Luck Babe and Pink Pony Club, Dancing in West Hollywood, which, correct me if I'm wrong, are both from a little earlier in her career, and then we have her brand new release, The Giver. Now I'm thinking, what if we could peel back the layers of these lyrics? What can they reveal about her evolution as an artist, the story she's telling, and maybe even the person behind the music?
It's like getting a glimpse into her creative journey over time, right? And, you know, I think what's particularly interesting is that we can trace shifts in her perspective, spot those signature elements that might run through all her work, and well, hopefully come away with a much deeper understanding of what makes her artistry tick. You're all about those aha moments, and I think with this deep dive, we're going to find some truly insightful connections.
All right, so let's jump right in, starting with Good Luck, Babe. Now, when I first read these lyrics, I was struck by this feeling, this blend of knowing sadness, almost like a sense of acceptance, but an acceptance of something ending that maybe wasn't ever quite right to begin with. What was your initial take on the tone?
Yeah, I totally get that. There's definitely this sense of an ending that was almost destined to happen. You know, just reading those opening lines, it's fine, it's cool, you can say that we are nothing, but you know the truth. It just hits you with this immediate power imbalance. It's clear that, at least from the speaker's perspective, the relationship isn't what the other person is claiming it to be.
You're spot on. And then you hit that pre-chorus, I don't want to call it off, but you don't want to call it love. I mean, talk about laying it all out there. It feels like the whole emotional weight of the song just hinges on that one painful truth.
Right. And it's interesting how the chorus that follows almost has this defiant repetition to it. You know, she lists all these superficial engagements. You can kiss 100 boys in bars, shoot another shot, try to stop the feeling, almost as if the speaker's calling out the other person's attempts at avoidance. But then that line, you'd have to stop the world just to stop the feeling. It's so powerful. It's also a declaration that these emotions, they're too real, too profound to just run away from.
It's like, go ahead, try to distract yourself. But the truth is still there. Then we get to the second verse, and she doesn't hold back. It's a sexually explicit kind of love affair. I mean, wow, that just throws another log on the fire, doesn't it? It suggests this incredibly deep physical intimacy that just isn't being met with the same level of emotional commitment.
Definitely. That explicitness really underlines the speaker's vulnerability. I mean, think about it. They're involved in something so intensely intimate physically, but they're being starved for that emotional connection. It's like that line, I just need a little lovin', I just need a little air. So simple, yet it cuts right to the core of that basic human need for affection and connection that's just missing.
And then in that second pre-chorus, we see a real shift. We go from, I don't want to call it off, which felt almost hesitant, to a much more decisive, think I'm going to call it off. That's a turning point, wouldn't you say? A reclaiming of power.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing your own worth. You know, the speaker's starting to realize that the imbalance just isn't sustainable, and they're making the choice to prioritize their own well-being. And it's subtle, but there's a significant shift from wanting the other person to acknowledge the love to simply wanting someone who reciprocates affection. I just want to love someone who calls me baby. It's really about finding that mutual connection.
The bridge for me is where it all comes crashing down emotionally. Waking up next to someone else and feeling like nothing more than his wife. It's just so raw. And then that I told you so moment, it's heartbreaking.
The bridge really is the emotional peak, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that I told you so, it's not delivered triumphantly. There's a sense of weariness, maybe even a hint of regret. I think it really reinforces the speaker's early intuition about this relationship. At first, they might have come across as naive for being more invested, but now they have this painful clarity.
So it's safe to say that unrequited love is a major theme in Good Luck, Babe. But it also feels like there's this deeper exploration of emotional honesty, both within the relationship and with oneself. And in the end, that hard-won journey toward self-respect.
Exactly. It's navigating those choppy waters of unequal emotional investment and ultimately choosing self-preservation over a relationship that just isn't fulfilling those fundamental needs.
Okay, let's switch gears and head over to Pink Pony Club, Dancing in West Hollywood.
I mean, right off the bat, the tone and setting are just worlds apart from Good Luck, Babe. There's this feeling of liberation, like stepping out of the shadows and into the light. You know, it feels like the start of a journey of self-discovery.
You're so right. The contrast is striking. Just look at those opening lines. I know you wanted me to stay, but I can't ignore the crazy visions of me in L.A. that just screams yearning for change, a specific destination in mind. It's like a burst of forward momentum and ambition that just wasn't there in the previous song.
And then we're introduced to the Pink Pony Club itself, where boys and girls can all be queens every single day. That line is just so vibrant, so evocative. What does it tell you about the values in the community she might be seeking out?
It paints a picture of this incredibly inclusive space, right? A place where traditional gender roles are maybe more fluid or even playfully challenged. I mean, the idea of everyone being a queen suggests empowerment, the freedom to truly be yourself without those societal constraints. But then you have that repeated refrain, won't make my mama proud, it's going to cause a scene. And then, bam, we get the mother's voice directly. God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl and you dance at the club. I mean, talk about a clash between personal desires and, let's just say, more traditional expectations. How do you interpret that parental disapproval?
Oh, it's classic, isn't it? That internal struggle so many people face when they choose a path that diverges from their family's vision. The mother's reaction, it represents a more traditional viewpoint that bumps right up against the daughter's embrace of, well, a less conventional lifestyle. And that repetition, it really underscores the weight of that potential disapproval, but also her determination to forge her own path.
The way she describes West Hollywood, too, it's so vivid. Lovers in the bathroom and a line outside the door, black lights and a mirrored disco ball. What kind of atmosphere do you think she's creating with those words?
It's dripping with energy, isn't it? It's liberation, maybe a touch of hedonism even. Those sensory details, the black lights, the disco ball, the lovers in the bathroom, they all build this feeling of excitement, of escape from perhaps more restrictive environments. It's like a world where inhibitions are checked at the door.
I noticed how in the second refrain, there's a subtle shift in perspective. She thanks her wicked dreams, and there's a sense of contentment with Santa Monica. It's like that initial leap of faith paid off.
Totally. It's like those wicked dreams that maybe seemed risky or unconventional actually led her to a place of belonging and happiness. Santa Monica becomes this symbol of her newfound self-acceptance and joy.
And then you have that really touching moment in the bridge where she reassures her loved ones back in Tennessee. Don't think I've left you all behind. Still love you in Tennessee. You're always on my mind. Even with this massive life change, those connections still matter.
Yeah, that adds a whole other layer, doesn't it? It's not about completely severing ties with the past, but rather expanding her world, her identity. She's chasing her dreams while still holding on to those important bonds, which I think really highlights the complexity of personal growth and leaving home.
So would it be fair to say that the key themes in Pink Pony Club revolve around this idea of self-discovery, embracing your individuality, and finding the courage to chase your dreams, even when it means facing potential disapproval from those closest to you, especially family?
Absolutely. It's about finding your tribe, creating a space where you can truly be yourself, even if it means stepping outside those predefined norms and expectations. There's a real sense of agency in her decision to follow those crazy visions.
All right, let's move on to the newest track, The Giver. Right away, there's a noticeable shift in confidence, this self-assuredness that we didn't quite see in the earlier songs. What are your initial thoughts?
I'm with you on that. It's a different energy altogether. It's right there in those opening lines. Ain't got antlers on my walls, but I sure know mating calls from the stalls and the bars on a Friday night. There's this playful swagger, a knowingness about human interaction, especially in that social setting. She's not holding back.
And then you have that central metaphor, so take it like a taker, Kazambi baby, I'm a giver.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on what this implies about her curt perspective on relationships and connections?
You know, it suggests a real sense of comfort and generosity, maybe even a sense of power within those dynamics. The giver, it implies someone who's secure in what they offer and doesn't need that immediate reciprocation to feel validated. It's a very confident self-possessed stance.
There are these lines that seem to subvert traditional masculine tropes. Girl, I don't need no lifted truck revving loud to pick you up, because how I look is how I touch. And in this strip mall town of dreams, good luck finding a man who has the means to rhinestone cowgirl all night long.
No.
It's a rejection of certain stereotypes, done with confidence and a bit of humor, I think.
It's fantastic, isn't it? She's redefining what it means to be attractive and engaging. It's not about those superficial displays of masculinity, but rather this inherent charisma and genuine connection. And that line, how I look is how I touch. It speaks volumes. It's about authenticity, a confidence that doesn't require any external validation.
And that chorus, it just hammers home this idea of being a giver. And it's not even a choice. It's just who she is. Because you ain't got to tell me. It's just in my nature. So take it like a taker, because baby, I'm a giver. Ain't no need to hurry, because baby, I deliver. Ain't no country boy quitter. I get the job done. I get the job done. Talk about a statement.
The repetition, that almost boastful tone, it's pure self-efficacy. She knows her strengths, and she's confident in her ability to deliver. And I love the addition of ain't no country boy quitter. It acknowledges her roots while simultaneously flipping those expectations on their head.
The bridge with those na-na-na sections really caught my ear, too. It almost feels like a moment of pure, unadulterated confidence. A little playful, a little defiant, like a brush off of any lingering doubt.
Yeah, it's a nice little break from those more direct statements, isn't it? There's this lightheartedness that further emphasizes her comfort and self-assuredness. And then to top it off, that repeated, she gets the job done. It's like the final, almost cheeky stamp of approval. She knows what she's capable of.
So we're seeing themes of confidence, self-assuredness, maybe a less traditional view of relationships, and this overarching feeling of empowerment emerge in the giver. It feels like a pretty significant step forward from the earlier tracks we discussed.
I'd say so. It's a portrait of someone who's comfortable in their own skin, knows their worth. That vulnerability we saw in Good Luck, Babe, has matured into this assertive and self-aware persona.
Looking at these three songs together across different stages of Chappell Roan's career, what do you think they reveal about her growth as an artist and an individual? I mean, there are some pretty noticeable shifts in tone, subject matter, and overall perspective.
It's a fascinating journey, isn't it? You start with navigating those painful complexities of heartbreak and unrequited love with a raw, open vulnerability and Good Luck, Babe. Then you move into actively seeking personal freedom and embracing a new identity in Pink Pony Club. And finally, you arrive at this confident, self-assured declaration of personal power in The Giver. It truly feels like a journey of self-discovery and ever-growing empowerment.
In the midst of those shifts, are there any recurring elements, any signatures that you pick up on throughout her work?
You know, despite the evolving themes and the changes in tone, I think there's this consistent thread of emotional honesty that runs through it all. Whether she's expressing vulnerability or confidence, her lyrics always feel authentic, direct, and there's a strong narrative quality to each song. They tell a story, capture a specific moment or feeling so vividly, and even when exploring more serious topics, there's often that spark of wit, a clever turn of phrase that keeps you hooked.
Based on this lyrical roadmap you've laid out for us, what kind of artist would you say Chappell Roan is? What sets her apart in today's music scene?
To me, she comes across as an artist who's completely fearless in her self-expression. She's not afraid to explore different facets of herself, her experiences, and she does it all through her music. And her willingness to embrace both vulnerability and assertiveness, often within the same body of work, well, it creates this incredibly compelling and relatable voice. She's a storyteller at heart, with an eye for detail and a real knack for crafting lyrics that resonate deeply and stick with you.
This has been such an insightful deep dive into the world of Chappell Roan's lyrics. We explored the heartbreak and self-discovery in Good Luck, Babe, the vibrant pursuit of dreams in Pink Pony Club, and that powerful self-declaration in The Giver. I'm hoping this has given you a deeper understanding of her as a songwriter, the stories she tells, and the themes that run through her work.
Absolutely. It's been a fascinating look at her artistic evolution, just through these three snapshots in time.
So as you continue listening to her music, keep those snapshots in mind. What thematic directions do you think she might explore next? And how do those glimpses into her past and present resonate with your own experiences, you know, with love, identity, and chasing those passions? It's definitely something to ponder as our deep dive comes to a close.